Faced with an uncertain future, many business owners and technology professionals don't have the time needed to invest in their business technology strategies. And as a result, they're afraid of their technology getting outdated and putting their company and customers' information at risk. The digital future is already here, but with all different choices in the marketplace, it's difficult to know which one will be the best fit for you and your strategic vision. Imagine having the peace of mind that your business is backed by the right technology investments that are tailored for your specific needs. Hi, I'm Brian Nichols, and I've helped countless business owners and technology professionals just like you, helping you make informed decisions about what technologies are best to invest in for your business. Voice, bandwidth, cybersecurity, business continuity, juggling all the aspects of business technology is messy. Let me help. Head to briannicholsshow.com/help and sign up for a free one-on-one consultation with yours truly to dig deep into where you see your company heading and how we can align your business technology towards those goals. Again, that's briannicholsshow.com/help to get your simplified business technology started today. Instead of focusing on winning arguments, we're teaching the basic fundamentals of sales and marketing and how we can use them to win in the world of politics, teaching you how to meet people where they're at on the issues they care about. Welcome to the Brian Nichols Show. Well, happy Tuesday there, folks. Brian Nichols here on the Brian Nichols Show, and thank you for joining us on, of course, another fun-filled episode. And this is an episode I'm particularly excited about because we're going to be talking some football, and I'm a big football fan, and you guys know my cross to bear. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, but today we're going to be talking to somebody who's not a Dallas Cowboys fan. As a matter of fact, they're a Broncos fan, and they're trying to buy the Broncos. Sean O'Brien, welcome here to the Brian Nichols Show.
What's going on, Brian? How you living, brother?
Doing quite well, and honestly, I feel I'm doing a little better than I deserve. I made the move out here to the Midwest. I'm a little bit closer to Denver, so I'm in your area, but I'm actually right outside of Indy. So out from the Northeast, I'm feeling great. How are things over in your neck of the woods?
Not too bad. I'll make you a deal. If we're able to be successful collectively, you can wear your Broncos jersey on the outside, but your Cowboys jersey can be on the inside, closer to your heart. How's that sound?
I'll take that for what it's worth, absolutely. But hey, I think you actually are maybe selling yourself a little short because you have a really cool idea here, and that is to take a decentralized autonomous organization using cryptocurrency and going out of your way to try to buy a billion, in this case, $4 billion NFL team. How cool is that? Sean, let's start things off here. Number one, introduce yourself to the audience because this is a fantastic way to start things off. But number two, how did you get into the position where you're helping lead a DAO to possibly buy the Denver Broncos?
So the two parts of that question. First part, I don't know, quick background myself. Despite the long hair and shaggy look, I have a JD MBA and worked in a tech company for over a decade in the legal department. But a few years ago, stepped away from that life to start a couple of small businesses with my wife. And things are going great. So I consider myself a recovering type A personality, trying to chill out in the life in that respect. To answer your second question of how did we get here, through failure, to be honest. We've had this idea for a while, and being that we live in the Mountain West and are Broncos fans, we knew that the Broncos, after Pat Bowlen's passing, we knew the Broncos would go up for sale eventually based on kind of the lay of the land. And we had looked at a couple of other opportunities, kind of honed our craft, I guess, for lack of a better term. And you know, the last few weeks made our efforts public, made ourselves known, and are currently building up a team, and we'll be going live with a number of the DAO tooling mechanisms here soon.
Wow, that's so cool. And also, I mean, I was mentioning this beforehand, not only are you in the process of looking at buying the Denver Broncos, but also the Broncos are having some pretty exciting things happen. You just got Russell Wilson from the Seattle Seahawks. So you have a quarterback for the future, right? So you can build around that.
The cost just went up, Brian. The cost just went up.
I was going to say, those piggy banks there are going to have to keep on getting bigger. But it's exciting because, and we talked about this beforehand, we are seeing an opportunity now for anyone, really, to get involved. And in this case, buy an NFL team. And we were talking beforehand, too. There was I forget the specifics, but I know there's a group of folks who also formed a DAO, and they were trying to buy a copy of the U.S. Constitution. And you see that this mentality of almost crowdsourcing but utilizing the newer technologies that are out there, now all of a sudden it becomes a lot easier. So let's start off very basics here for the audience, because I know a lot of us, we're not all crypto and blockchain experts. So what is a DAO, and how are we going to be able to use this to possibly by the Denver Broncos?
That's a great question. You know, and different folks utilize different analogies to kind of explain it. I'll do my best to do it in a quick, succinct way. So essentially a DAO is, you know, it's built on the blockchain. It's transparent. It's built using what are called smart contracts. And it's a way for people across the board from all walks of life to pool their resources or their efforts together to accomplish a goal or a task or to manage, you know, some sort of asset. And so what we've done is we've set up a system wherein people from all across the globe, if they so desire, can participate in the DAO as a member of the DAO and technically a legal member of a cooperative. We've established a legal cooperative to house this. And as a member of a legal cooperative, the big thing about that is that you have the ability to not only vote on decisions that the cooperative makes, the DAO makes, but you also can participate in its furtherance and well-being. And by doing that, it's a little bit getting a little nuanced and into the weeds, but it allows for folks to engage with the DAO slash cooperative. And if the DAO slash cooperative turns a profit, they are able to potentially reap benefits, financial benefits in the based on their what's called patronage. And so with a DAO, not to get again too deep into the weeds, with a DAO, the net is folks from all over the world can come together to raise funds to acquire the Denver Broncos. And then through that, they will have voting rights, participatory rights, and all sorts of other benefits that flow from it, for everything ranging from, you know, discounts to games to merch to gamification within the DAO and things of that nature. And so people have an actual skin in the game and ownership in the team. And also if the team turns a profit, they will potentially be able to receive a dividend based on what the DAO decides.
And let's like look at an NFL team. Are those sound investments? Well, I, as my original statement was, I'm a Cowboys fan. And back in 1989, at the tender age of 46 years old, Jerry Jones bought the Dallas Cowboys for $140 million. Now, Sean, if you had to guess, what do you think the Dallas Cowboys are worth?
Ooh, Forbes puts out their list every year. I'm going to put them somewhere in the $5 billion range.
Even more so. $6.5 billion as of the most recent Forbes listing. So
yeah, they top the list of most valuable teams in the world. If not the most valuable.
I think that's a pretty darn good return on investment, though. and think about what we're creating here and what this is going to, in terms of an opportunity, really open up the doors for. And you mentioned this. It can be any fan, anybody can really get involved and now not only have a real vested interest in the team because they actually have ownership in the team, but to your point, now they have the opportunity to get the return on that investment. So you're not just sitting there every single Sunday or Monday night and watching your team either win or lose, but now you're actually having a vested stake in the team's overall success, be that on the field, but also off the field. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, we argue that that's the way it should be all along, right? The fans are the lifeblood of the team. The fans are the folks who fill the stadiums. They're the ones who sit outside and tailgate before the games. You know, they're the ones who wear the jerseys, you know, to the grocery store. You know, they're the ones who have the signed jerseys behind them on their wall when they go to sleep at night. You know, I mean, it's no secret that the fans are the ones who make the team tick. And we believe that it's time for that to be recognized within the league structure. And, you know, I think that another big benefit of that is that, you know, players also, I think, to some extent, have a lot to gain from this sort of business model, because the fans are inherently going to treat the players better, I think, because, you know, fans love the players and fans, you know, have an emotional attachment that I think sometimes is left by the wayside when it is simply run purely from an economics perspective as a business, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, having that level of engagement just makes sense. And we think that it's coming. And so we say, why not us, right? It's going to happen. The you know, finally, the technology has caught up with the concept, right? It's kind of, you know, it sounds dumb, but it's, you know, it's like space exploration right now, right? the technology has finally caught up with the idea that there can be commercial flights into space, and that's why it's happening. The reason that we're trying to do this is that the technology has finally caught up with the idea of true fan ownership, true fan participation, and true fan benefit when it comes to an NFL team.
So let's go, and you mentioned them, the players. And I'm curious about the players aspect, because you actually had a former player for the Broncos, Russell Okung. He's really big into cryptocurrency, and I'm kind of wondering, and I'm not sure this might actually go into some rules in the NFL, so please enlighten me if this is the case, but
no,
we see a lot of players talk about, well, there's all this white ownership in the NFL, and maybe we deserve the opportunity to get involved and own some opportunities, own some teams. Would this give the chance for players to almost own the teams that they are in turn getting paid from?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in the NFL Constitution and Bylaws, Section 9-1-D, allows for players to own part of the team if they play for that team. It requires executive committee approval, but yeah, in theory, a Bronco player could own part of the Denver Broncos if we're able to pull this off.
Wow. Yeah,
that's the short answer. The long answer is you're exactly right. The NFL has great market penetration in the United States. There's no question about it. 9 out of the top 10, programs in terms of viewership on any given year are going to be NFL games. However, they are struggling with the youth, and they're struggling with, their international marketplace. And we think that this is a killer way for them to gain a ton of goodwill, but also engage those folks at a level they've never been engaged in before.
Yeah, well, if you're somebody overseas and maybe you're a wayward fan, right? Like maybe you're in the United Kingdom and maybe, just maybe, the Broncos will come and play overseas once ever. And if that's the case, right? If that's the case, you maybe are like, okay, I'm a Broncos fan versus, hey, I'm a Broncos fan in the United Kingdom and I can actually have a vested ownership in this team.
I'm a Broncos owner.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. You become the Broncos owner. That's now creating an opportunity, not just, and I think we think about as fans in the United States exclusively, but now we're creating almost a global opportunity for people to have a vested interest in a professional sports team.
Yep. Nothing against the Cowboys, brother, but if we pull this off, the Broncos will become the globe's favorite NFL team overnight.
Yeah, literally. And okay, let's talk about the feasibility of this, right? Because this sounds great, and I'm excited. And then I look at the price tag. I know David Pepper just bought the Carolina Panthers there for just shy of, what was it, like $3.5 billion or something like that?
Yeah.
And I think I saw projections.
Easy money for him.
Well, the projections for the Broncos, though, I hate to tell you, I'm sure you're aware, I saw that it was ballpark $4 billion. That's billion with a B, folks. So
with a B.
That's a lot of money. Sean, elephant in the room, right? How do you see this actually becoming reality? Will it become reality? And if not, what's your goal from this otherwise?
That's a great question. So I'll take two parts of that, right? The first of the reality aspect, and then the second of what's the goal, because the goal is really important. But in terms of the financial aspect, $4 billion with a B is nothing, to set aside. And we know that that's a lot of money. At the same time, in terms of global finance and liquidity, that's not that much money. On any given day, an IPO for a new age catheter could raise that amount of money on the stock exchange. And so when you look at, you mentioned, Constitution, DAO, there are DAOs out there that have successfully raised a lot of money in a short period of time. There are DAOs, non-sports related DAOs, BitDAO is one that comes to mind. I think they've raised $1.9 billion, plus they have $2.5 billion already invested. So they have raised billions of dollars successfully, responsibly, and transparently. So we know it can be done in terms of the scalability on the DAO side. The question is, can it be done in the sports arena? And I think the answer is pretty easily. Easily is not the right word. I think it's definitely doable and viable. The question just becomes of whether we're able to get the word out effectively, inform people and manage the kind of the messaging so that folks understand what this is all about. We don't want people to come in speculatively. We don't want people to come in thinking that this is a get rich quick scheme, because there's none of those things. In fact, we're proceeding with a lot of caution on that front to make sure that when things do happen, people are informed, aware, and very much in favor of what they're participating in. And it's not just a blood in the water, kind of feeding frenzy sort of thing.
Right.
To answer your second question of, now I forgot.
Second question, the feasibility. So like if for example, it doesn't happen, right? What would the goal be?
Yeah, the long-term goal, frankly, is that this is successful and in operation, you know, when I'm 6 feet under. You know, we're building this in a way that we want this to be successful at the Denver Broncos. We want it to last, and we want it to be something that operates, you know, obviously with adjustments as time goes on, but operates successfully for the Denver Broncos and the betterment of Broncos country, you know, into the next generation. And that's why we have a whole team of legal folks. We have a whole team of accountants. We have a whole team of devs. We have really built up a group of people to look at this from every angle when it comes to the infrastructure and you know, the viability of it, to withstand the long-term hits that it might take, even financial hits. And so we have some backstops for that. To answer your question in terms of goals as a DAO, you know, honestly, one of the other things that we really hope happens is that people in just the kind of general world, not the Web3 part of life, but just the general world start to see, hey, you know what? If a DAO can do this with the Denver Broncos, there are so many applications of a DAO that doesn't take a nonprofit. It doesn't take a government agency. It doesn't take any of these other kind of machinations of governing bodies that can be lethargic, that can be costly, that can really be one-sided, et cetera. But rather it's a group truly of people collectively united for a single purpose or multiple purposes, but typically a single purpose, who can come together and make something happen. And so it's something as simple as, you know, folks owning their own apartment complex rather than having a landlord. You could DAO that. You could put that in the DAO. You could have governing principles, not have an HOA, and people would actually have a tangible asset that they own collectively. And, you know, I think that's starting to happen to some degree, but if I'm being honest, that sort of thing is not as sexy as what we're trying to do in terms of getting the word out collectively across the globe. And so that's our hope, is that it spreads the word outside of what we're focused on here with our kind of myopic view. But in general, people really start to clue in like, man, DAOs have a lot of utility in the real world. Let's see what we can do with this, because there are people way smarter than me who are going to make DAOs do amazing things.
The technology, and I think you talked about this before, the technology now being to the point where it's meeting the ideas. And that's the part that was missing before. And now that we're there, I mean, I'm in technology sales. I get it. Like, we've seen technology over the past 5 years just exponentially
explode.
And where's the next 5 years? What's the next 5 months going to be, honestly? So let me ask you this, because, I mean, while I'm sure us on this side of the conversation have been enjoying everything you're talking about and bringing to the table, I'm sure there's maybe 31 or so individuals who are leading other NFL teams who are like, huh, this is interesting. What do you think the feedback's going to be, Sean, from NFL ownership?
Good question. So I will, if I can, I'll premise it with a couple of things, because we know we're facing those headwinds. We have a few tailwinds, though. First off, gratefully, the governor of Colorado is very tech savvy and very much on board with the movement towards cryptocurrency.
It's Jared Polis, right?
Yes, exactly. He made his money off of tech. He in the House of Representatives, he was the first person, I believe, to accept Bitcoin as a method of supporting his candidacy. He founded and co-chaired the blockchain caucus in the House of Representatives. And I think this summer, Colorado's poised to be the first state to accept Bitcoin as a method of paying your taxes. On top, and so he is, I can't say that he is supporting us in the sense of, you know, rooting for us, but he has definitely been very much instrumental and given some very positive praise. And we're very grateful for that. On top of that, Colorado has a cooperative law. As I mentioned at the outset, the way we're legally structuring ourselves is a cooperative that is ideal, and we think the preeminent version of a cooperative law to make this sort of thing happen. In addition to those two things, the other kind of tailwind is that while it is unfortunate that Mr. Bolin has passed, the Broncos are technically in an estate sale. And that is different from a traditional sale of an NFL team, where it's a living person or a living, you know, group represented by an entity selling the team. An estate sale has a legal obligation to some extent to sell to the highest bidder. And so some of the control that the NFL typically yields, or wields rather, in these sorts of scenarios has been taken away through this estate sale process, or will be taken away through the estate sale process. So we view those as being tailwinds, amongst others. But to answer your question more directly, we think that when it comes to the NFL, the constitution and bylaws of the NFL have some limitations. However, those limitations are very specific. Essentially, not to get too deep in the weeds, but there's a, I think it's a 293-page, you know, document or something like that. So there's a lot in there. But the net is the NFL limits ownership to five different buckets or five groups. You're either an individual, you are an association, you're a corporation, a partnership, or what they call an other entity. So we are a legal cooperative. And so we are not one of these first five. We are the other entity. And when you look at the limitations specifically within the Constitution and bylaws of the NFL, when they say things like, for example, limited partnerships are limited to 25 partners or less. Again, that applies specifically to limited partnerships. So all of the constraints that they've applied are specific to limited partnerships, corporations, and LLCs, of which we are neither of those three things. And so we are in the default of the section, I think it's 3.5, of just a new owner or a transfer of ownership. And so that's our perspective on how we would approach it. Now, that being said, your question is more to the opinion of the 31 owners, of the other organizations and how they may view this. We think that their initial, reaction will be one of skepticism, and that's fair. We think that's reasonable, but we know that they're smart, pretty savvy business folks who have done well for themselves in this world in that respect, and they will ultimately see the benefit for themselves in adopting this business model at some point, either in a small degree or whatever capacity they deem fit. Because again, what we're bringing to the table is not only fan engagement at a level that's never existed, we're bringing youth and we're bringing an international marketplace. Those last two things the NFL has struggled with for years and years and years. It's no secret. And so we think that ultimately they will view this as, at the very least, a step forward from a goodwill perspective, but also financially a huge boon for the league and for each individual team.
Wow. Well, we are at the tail end of the conversation, Sean.
Sorry, so, man. I kept talking.
No. That's people like to hear me not talk. So that's a good thing.
I don't buy that for a second.
Oh no, I promise you, I get the emails. But with that being said, how about this? Because I'm a sales guy at heart, and I always have to have the call to action. So, folks, they're interested in being a Broncos owner, or if they are a Broncos fan, they say, "Hey, maybe I should get a return on the investment." How can they get involved? What's the action items on their end?
That's a great question. So as I mentioned in the beginning, we are intentionally proceeding slowly. And so right now we are not live in terms of raising funds. That will happen here soon. But we've wanted to, again, familiarize and mature the idea in the marketplace. So more succinctly, follow us on our socials, Buy the Broncos. It's that simple. Buy the Broncos on Twitter, Buy the Broncos on Discord, or on our website. You can sign up to receive emails. We will not spam you. We will send you only pertinent information that is germane to when things go live, which will be here shortly. And if you have questions, we will answer those. So yeah, Buy the Broncos on Twitter and Discord.
Wow. All right, folks. Well, you have your call to action, Sean. This has been a fantastic conversation. And obviously, we're going to make it easy for folks as much as we can, at least. Please, all we're going to do, folks, is all you have to do is hit the little artwork in your show notes. It'll bring you to today's episode where you can find Sean's bio, all the links, plus the entire transcript of today's episode. But yes, this is an exciting, exciting new adventure that we're going to be able to go on, I think, all of us together, seeing as technology grows. And what new opportunities is going to open up, not just for buying the Denver Broncos, but yes, so many other areas in life. It's exciting.
It's just the beginning, Brian.
It is the beginning.
It's just the beginning, brother.
It is. Amen. Well, Sean O'Brien, thank you for joining us on the show today. Folks, please do us a favor. If you enjoy the episode, please share the episode with family and friends. And when you do, make sure you tell them that Brian Nichols sent you. With that being said, though, it's Brian Nichols signing off here on the Brian Nichols Show for Sean O'Brien from Buy the Broncos. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you, Brian. Peace.
Thanks for listening to The Brian Nichols Show. Find more episodes at briannicholsshow.com.
If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe. Want to help us reach more people? Give the show a 5-star review and tell your friends to subscribe too. Find us at briannicholsshow.com and download the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow me on social media at @bnicholsliberty and consider donating to the show at briannicholsshow.com/support. The Brian Nichols Show is supported by viewers like you. Thank you to our patrons, Daryl Schmitz, Michael Lima, Mitchell Mankiewicz, Hody Johns, Craig DaCosta, and the We Are Libertarians Network.
This is renegade statesman Eric Brakey, host of Free America Now, a podcast for people ready to strike down tyranny. As a former state legislator who knows how the political machine works, I lead every episode with a free-range discussion alongside thinkers, activists, and policymakers. People like Tom Woods, Hannah Cox, and WWE superstar and Knox County Mayor Glenn Kane Jacobs on just how to free America now. New episodes are released every day, Monday through Friday, and you can find Free America Now on your favorite podcasting app. So be sure to subscribe, unless you're a communist, in which case I understand why you wouldn't really like the show. Furthermore, my opinion is the Federal Reserve should be destroyed, so let's free America now.